Well, good morning. I still am a classroom teacher, so if I get this a little mixed up, forgive me. I'll try not to ask you to raise your hands to speak, but it is really good to be back. It is a privilege. It's just a privilege to be a part of this family. I know you hear this a lot from your regular pastors, but you are a fairly good-looking bunch of people. Looks like Kurt and Phil and Tony are starting early on their no-shave November, but the rest of you look pretty good. Now, I do have some ground to cover this morning, so I'll try not to keep you terribly late. But I didn't want to cut the sharing time too short because we like to hear from you. I don't get to hear that part too often. We do get the phone messages in Thailand, so I get to find out who's going in for surgery and who we get to pray for. And it is a smaller world than it once was. I have my ringer turned off at night so that I don't get the messages at 3 in the morning my time. But anyway, I'd like to spend a little time saying thank you this morning. I need to update you on what's going on in Thailand for us. I have a short sales pitch and then a few words that I want to share with you on what God's been teaching me. So hopefully we'll get that all done. You get those letter envelopes in the offering baskets, and I know that you know that we appreciate it, but I don't know if you know how much we appreciate it. Thank you for writing the letters. Some of them are just news about what's going on here, and it helps us to feel more informed. This morning seems fallish. It's very humid and foggy. I'm doing laundry and would love to hang it out, but it doesn't look like a very good day, drying day. Maybe later the sun will peek out. It's nice to know that in Thailand, really. It seems trivial, but it's not. We're looking forward to seeing you soon. And I know someone else that is too, Grandma Ellen. God bless you abundantly as you serve Him. Our Sunday school lesson last week was, Lord, teach us to live in purity and occupy ourselves in a way that pleases You while we wait for Your return. Oh, here's another one. This one really blessed us. Good evening from Michigan. I just got home from having a special prayer meeting. Dana felt led to have us kneel and pray for you guys during the devotion time. Then we got up and had a prayer request and went on with the meeting. This letter came when we were going through a pretty rough week. So thanks. Oh, here's a... You know, I'm halfway done. I realized that David says we live to 70. That's a good life, and I hit the halfway point this past summer. I'm 35 now. Hope your year blooms beautifully. We pray for blessings, for safety in your travels, and for continuance of the same in Thailand. We will miss you greatly. Much love, Glenford and Leanna. Your letters mean a lot to us. Thanks. Thanks, those of you that maybe don't get a lot of recognition for the time you spend writing. But the humor that you include and the random bits of information about Michigan are actually really quite special. So thank you. You all have done a really wonderful job of making us feel a part of what's going on here. I don't know if you all can do this, but I'd like you to take your right hand and just kind of set it up over across on your left shoulder. Walk the fingers around a little bit. And then tap up and down just a little bit. little pat on the back from us. Now, I don't know. That wasn't Spirit-directed. He may be wanting you to reach around a little farther and swat yourself on the backside. I don't know. But we're grateful for what you all have done. I know that you know this has been an extra difficult summer for us. We've been serving in Thailand, and I'll talk a little more about what we're doing, but we're here this year, this October, not really by our original plans, but we lost a cousin of mine, a family member of ours, this summer, and it didn't work out for all of us to come back for the funeral. I could have flown alone to be here for Brett's funeral, but that didn't seem like the wisest thing. And a number of you all encouraged us that if we could all come to make that happen. And so that's why we're here this October. We don't plan on being back every year. You'd get a little tired of that, wouldn't you, Harold? But we are here this October largely to reconnect with our family, our extended Graber family, and the loss of our cousin Brett. Thanks for your prayers over that time. Our summer has been extra full with, just more involvement with the team that Brett was a part of, and the paperwork and pieces after that death. Some of you know this already, but I'd like it if you'd remember Brett's brother, Bryce, and his family. Tomorrow morning, Bryce is leaving to go with the Edge guys that his brother would have been a part of the team, and they'll spend some time in North Korea. He flies out at 6 a.m. from Chicago. They have about a week of orientation in Thailand, and then they'll be heading north. So pray for their family, for Bryce especially. All right. I'll talk a little bit about our life in Thailand. Can you unblank that one, Austin? This is us. This is us in Thailand. We've had some budget cuts on the playpen department, so this is where Derek plays. No. He spends a lot of time smiling. This is Thailand. This is where we live. This is just out from our house. A lot of rice, an awful lot of rice. I was telling Craig about how it gets planted and harvested, and it's so different from the way you farm here. Everything is underwater. Tractors, combines drive in 6-8 inches of water all the time. The dirt is a lot heavier. They don't get stuck. Here's our center pivot irrigation system. It's just canals that we open the dikes for the rice paddies and flood them and drain them out. Addison and I spend quite a bit of time looking for cows. We're still Indiana farmers, and he'll have a rough day at home with his mom, and I'll get back from teaching and he'll say, "Go, cows." We'll take off on the motorcycle and go look for cows. This is not Indiana Michigan Power or NIPSCO, but this is how it works in Thailand. I don't know if you can see the people, but I count 10 people here working on the power lines. It's not because we have unions in Thailand. It's because labor is cheap. And I don't want to make broad statements about people being overpaid anywhere else. But in Thailand, there are more workers than there are jobs. And the average laborer doing this kind of work gets about 350 baht a day. That's $11 US. The cost of living is lower, but it's not that much lower. These people live in shacks, in huts. A gallon of milk costs about $6. In Thailand. So, the cost of living other than milk is cheaper, but there's a lot of things that are more expensive in Thailand. We do have McDonald's. Yeah. So you don't feel sorry for us at all. But can you tell me what's different about that drive-thru? Yeah. No, it's the right side. I think I only drove on the wrong side of your roads about 5 times since we got here. And most of that was on the first day. But, oh, and you may not care about this, but I wanted to throw the picture in. This is the carry-all of Thailand. This is the Horizon Transport trucks. They get rebuilt. You can't see this very well, but there's about 5 inches of extra leaf spring under the rear end and an extra set of shocks. I've seen small trucks carrying loads that would make big trucks here squat. The rear axle is usually changed out for a heavier axle. Oh, and this one. I'm pretty sure that if Chevy Trailblazers like this were sold in Michigan, that they would sell. Can you get a Duramax here in your... No, you can't, in your SUV. Maybe sometime. It's just a little one, Tom. It's a 2.8. This is the college where I do most of my teaching. It's Mahavidyalaya North. North University. It's a private college, just a little bit out of town, out of Chiang Mai. Here's another picture on campus. Just recently we had the freshman orientation. So a lot of activities to get the students started in their classes, their activities. And then, I don't know, children are always wanted. This is Addison getting his face painted. We live just off campus. Our back fence or the back wall of our yard is onto the college property. And in some ways it feels a little bit like life in New York. We did quite a bit of work with international students when we lived there. This is new for us. Pray for us, please. This is something that works out. Friday evenings we're inviting students over to play games, and they come. They come to eat the food, to play the games, to be with family, to be with children. This is one of our teachers. That's Amy Smoker from Oregon. And yeah, cornhole happens in Thailand too. We've had more interaction and more contact with Muslim students than what I expected. There is a fairly strong contingency of Muslim students from the south that are brought on scholarships to the north to study. I get the impression it's the government's effort to try to minimize the violence in the south. But the Muslim students seem to appreciate our family values, the fact that when they come for a party that there's no alcohol. Our girls are modestly dressed, and they wear a head covering too. And it seems to be a point of connection. We've had a lot of connection with the Thai Muslims. Oh, and that's our minivan in the back. Life is different in Thailand, but it's not all that different. I still drive a minivan, and we still listen to Jungle Jam on the way home from church. So it's, you pray for us, but we're just kind of who we still were. This is us. You got one of the prayer cards in your mailbox this morning. Tried to get an updated picture of who we are. You see the note there that we're, or the logos in the bottom corner. We are still working with GTO and IGO. And it's not been too difficult. It doesn't seem like that much of a stretch, but every so often we have to sort out where we can put most of our time. So pray for us on that one. There's a lot of work to be done. I wanted to... Here's the sales pitch now. youth. This is for you. I was less aware of IGO than I realized until we got there. What IGO actually is and how it runs. IGO is, in a lot of ways, a Bible school. A Bible school that's open to everyone. It is focused on missions. That's the goal of many of the classes, and it's the reason that IGO is hosted in a foreign country. But the classes that are offered are good theology, doctrine, life skills sort of classes. And it does fit sort of in the EBI or SMBI category. It's a viable option. It's a little more expensive because of its location and the amount of travel that's involved. But I'd recommend it. I'd recommend you at least consider it. The school year is divided into two semesters, and each semester, the class terms are 3 weeks, and then there's a two-week ministry trip, and the students are sent out to places like Indonesia and Vietnam and China and other rural parts of Thailand, and then they come back and they have some debriefing on what they've learned, and they get back into another 3 weeks of classes, and then they go for 2 weeks of ministry trip again. We have ministry trips that go as far as Egypt and Palestine and as close as just around Chiang Mai. So those of you that are in the market for a Bible school, I've been much impressed with what I see going on there. You would be one of my students. I teach at IGO. Each semester I teach a 3-week class on how to teach English, but mostly on why to teach English. We teach English because it is a need in Southeast Asia. The ASEAN community, the ASEAN community, has picked English to be their language of communication, of trade. And there's people that want English. It's an open door. It's a way in, if you will, to share your life and to share your faith with the people of Asia. So that's a nutshell of the 3-week course that I teach. There, you got that one for free. I would really be glad to have Calvary Chapel represented at IGO. So if we can, try to minimize this one and catch. Well, let's see here. Am I just blank back here? Yeah. See if I can drag this one over. This is their website. It's igo-asia.com. And the reason I pull it up is because I want you to know where to go. In their programs tab, check out the English for Life. This is what we do. I like, if you have time, no, not now, put your smartphones away, please. One of my classroom rules is that if I see it, it's mine. So check it out, please. This is a bit more about what we're doing in Thailand, but we did get a short video put together here just recently. Go ahead and switch over, if you would, Austin, to the video. I'd like to show this one. It captures better than me talking of what EFL or English for Life is doing right now in Thailand. Welcome to EFL, that's English for Life. We are TESOL teachers, We teach English to speakers of other languages. That's TESOL. English for Life is a part of IGO Ministries here in Chiang Mai. It's a way into a culture that needs Jesus and wants English. Currently, we're running an English center on a university campus. We have a few teachers teaching in elementary schools and teaching in a church English ministry.
I teach in a primary school, and I am there every day with them, teaching four different subjects in English. And being able to watch them grow and increase in their use of the English language and their understanding of the English language has just been very rewarding.
The nations in Southeast Asia are working together as the ASEAN community, and they've chosen English to be their language of commerce and trade. And so business graduates and lawyers are looking for more and better English ability. They want to learn. EFL teachers do receive training here in Chiang Mai. We put them through 6 weeks of intensive TESOL certification. It includes techniques and classroom teaching, practice teaching under the guidance of a professional.
When I first came, the idea of teaching English seemed scary to me. I had never done it before. But through the TESOL course that we took here in Chiang Mai, and then just through having experience teaching, I was able to learn, and I really enjoy it now.
God has brought me here, and just seeing how He can work through people like me to teach English in different environments. Teaching English definitely is an opportunity to invest in lives in many different ways. And it's not even just in English teaching. You can try to perfect your teaching skills. You can try to be this professional teacher. But if it's all about yourself and not about your students, it's still not going to be a benefit for the people and ultimately for His kingdom.
We work to establish a friendship-centered atmosphere, an atmosphere in the classroom where the students grow in their language ability while having fun. We at EFL recognize that while we're teaching English, it's incredibly important to be able to connect with our students in their heart language as well. So our teachers spend 10 hours a week studying Thai. We're working on teaching English and learning Thai at the same time. Yes, it's a tall order, but our teachers are doing well.
Working with university students has also been a very rewarding opportunity to be able to form relationships. My goal there is to motivate them, to inspire them, to teach them well.
The fact that I'm talking to you in English and that you're understanding me is the mark of a gift that you've been given. We speak English as our native language, and we communicate using that language fairly well. The world here in Thailand wants that ability.
I feel like teaching English has enabled me to use the gifts that God has given me in a good way, in more focused kingdom work.
A lot of the things that is a part of what we do pushes you out of your comfort zone. You need to step out, you need to do things you're not comfortable with, you don't normally do, you wouldn't maybe choose on your own, but it's part of the job, it's part of what we do.
There's times you get discouraged, tired, don't want to teach. Even in this culture, it's sometimes hard to connect or know how to connect. It takes time and a lot of effort too. But God's faithful, and excited to see what God has for the future for EFL. And if this is something interesting for any of you, please consider it. Pray about it, and God can work in amazing ways to overcome fears and discouragement and just stepping out of comfort zones and just allowing God to work.
The opportunities are almost endless, whether it's professionals or children, whether it's university students or church workers. We're looking for teachers who speak English as their native language. The doors are open and the needs are now. end of what I need the projector for. If you want to turn these lights on, I'd be fine. I meant to tell you before I started the video, after the video, I wanted to have a bit of time for questions and answers. This is what we're doing, what we've been doing for the past year that we've been away from you. But do you have questions that I can help you out with? We're going to be here all month. If you don't have questions right now, that's all right. We want to say thanks again for your support prayerfully and the way that you've kept track of us, but also for your financial support. I am kind of blown away by the fact that you know us. Like you really do know who we are, and that's sort of unfortunate, really, and yet somehow you have blessed us and trusted us to be an extension of Calvary Chapel in Thailand. We don't take it lightly. I had a friend of mine there. He said, you know, I think that we do well to tremble when we think about the responsibility that we've been given to represent our churches and our families here, and to represent the waiting world when we go back to our churches. We do well to take it very seriously. And I would say that Jenny and I do. I'm not sure how seriously our boys take it, but we're praying for them too. Anyway, you know, this morning, if time-wise, see what we have. Yes, try to not keep you too far past lunch, but if you would turn to Philippians 3, it'd be great. Philippians 3, I'll start at verse 7. Paul has spent He spent the first six verses here describing some of his own goodness. In verse 7 he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. And for what? What is Paul reaching forward for? He says, I press on toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. Paul had a lot behind him. He had a lot of good things behind him. He was something. He had made himself something in his own right. I have a note here in my journal here, get over it. I think we're so wrapped up in the epicness of our own struggle that we miss what the real author of the story is writing. You know, in coming back here, I spent a little time going back through some of our old stuff. And I came across a video. You don't have to remember it, but we used to send videos back to Calvary Chapel when we were in China. And one of them, I was just in awe of my own awfulness. I'm so embarrassed. I could catch the tone in my voice that the decisions we were making were so big. Well, they were big at the time. But you've forgiven and gone on with us. I appreciate that. But I realize that it's not just youth, it's not just five-year-olds that are egocentric or that are focused on themselves. It's me. It's all so, so epic. Just, I'm in the middle of this amazing drama and trial. Guys, real life is hard. It is hard. And the good things that we've done, maybe they really are good. But it's not that much compared to what God has done for us. And if we can just get a hold of the reality that it's not really about us, but it's about Him and about what He's doing. Maybe it is through us. I'm grateful for the small but minor role that I've been able to play in so many interesting things in Thailand. I'm glad for my family that I was able to be at the hospital with Brett when his body was declared dead. I'm glad for a friend of mine, Lannis, a week ago that I was able to be there when he had a bad bike wreck and I could pick up the pieces and get him carted off to the hospital. He's okay. He is okay. And I'm glad for the places that God puts Tom and Harold and each of you. I'm glad for what God is doing in Nelson's life. But when we get the focus off of what God's doing and onto what we're doing, we forget that we're supposed to be pressing on towards what comes next. Yeah. You guys know us, and you remember, some of you remember, when Chad was also in Bible memory. Some of you don't. But this is where we're from. And I think that I'm pretty safe in saying that we're not that special here, and I'll get a few amens. It's not really about us. It's about what God is doing, and God's bringing the hearts of the people of Thailand to Himself. You know, Thailand has a lot of missionaries. There are missionaries there, and they're working in other countries. But the people of Thailand, the majority people group, is less than 1% Christian. Out of 100 people, 99 would be Buddhist. Or at least 97 of them, and maybe 2 would be Muslim. It is an unreached country, and it needs Jesus. It's why we're there. It's why you've sent us there. So thank you. But it needs Jesus. It doesn't really need Chad and Jenny. We are simply following the path that God has us on for now. EFL is changing and hopefully growing. We've had a lot of changes this past year. The program had to rearrange, and it's taken a lot of my time. It's a good thing. People are being touched and moved toward the kingdom. It's a good thing. We praise God for it, but we recognize where we fit. Sometimes I'm just really amazed at how much time we spend worrying about, well, did I say the right thing? Should have I gone over to shake her hand? Was it right to give him a hug? I wonder if he felt bad that I didn't remember that his daughter lost her tooth this week. I wonder if I could have done more. I just don't know if I did the right thing. And we get in a circle of what should I do in my relationship with him, because I want him to think the best of me, or I want her to think the best of me right now, and the focus really quickly gets to me. And it's pretty easy to do that in Thailand too. I want to be the best English teacher I can be. I want to be the best team leader I can be, because then they'll like me enough to like my Jesus. No. No, it's all right to be the best we can be. It's all right to try to do well. But I would like to propose that if we try to get them to like us well enough to then like our Jesus, we're missing the point. If we can get Jesus presented and get ourselves forgotten as if we are the things that are behind, if we can forget about us, it's going to do more for the kingdom. I pray that here in a community of people that love each other, that you would indeed have the grace to go on loving each other, even when things get said the wrong way. That you wouldn't need to take all of your effort on being so certain that you look good to each other that we don't have the energy that we're supposed to have for the kingdom itself. Your emphasis this year has been on working together. Is that right? On building each other up. I'm not advocating that you be rude and unkind to each other, but I am advocating that we keep on remembering why we're here, and that's for him. And the more that we remember why we're here for him, the less we worry about, do I look okay today? Did I do the... I don't know if I should have parked on the other row so that nobody would see my car. Forget about it. Get over it. Get over it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and what he has for the lost. That's what I have for this morning. Dana, I think that you were going to close. Is that right? All right. Thanks again, Calvary Chapel. Thank you for claiming us as part of your family. As unfortunately, I'm afraid that you're still stuck with us for quite a while. Yeah, thanks.